Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here, the 76th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm pleased to be joined by... actually, how can I pronounce your name? I asked you the pronunciation for the title, but not your name. welcome, Shahad.
We're talking about
Saidat Al-Bahar. Is that right, is the pronunciation?
Sure, Saidat Al-Bahar.
Nice. And the rough translation is Scales.
It's actually kind of different titles. Scales is Scales. And Saidat Al-Bahar in Arabic means the lady of the sea, madam of the sea, you know, the goddess of the sea, something like that. But we felt it didn't have the same strength as it did in Arabic, so we remained on Scales in English.
You know? I would stick to the Arabic version.
Right?
Well, we talk, you know, that kind of gives a bit away the sort of, you know, the outline of the film, but I'll let you introduce the film and then we start our conversation.
Of course. So the story of the film talks about Hayat, a young girl who lives in an island that is that has shortage of food, of water, of everything. It's a very dry world. And we come to discover that this island lives on sacrificing the young girls to the sea. And Hayat was one of those babies who was about to be sacrificed to the sea. But her father breaks the village rule and decides to pick her back up from the water and make her live in the village as one of them. Of course, she grows up hated her and her father, and that kind of urges her to find a way to belong. She's kind of in this struggle between the sea and the land, and she has to find her true self and true identity.
You, the writer, and of course the director. Where did you draw upon your inspiration? Because I love the story so much. Is it like everything from you? There's some sort of like a mythological fairy tale or some folklore?
Well, mostly it's actually from me. But I had a short film before, Iron Mermaid, that kind of had the same concept, the same world. So I wrote the world of this, the mermaid world, like about in 2012. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was the mermaid that represented that symbolism of the outcast, the women who are outcast, the people who choose the road less beaten. You know, in traditional society, they get shunned, they get casted away. But for them, for us, I think most of us here are those people. For us, you know, we decide to be free and not tangled by any rules, even if we're going to be outcast. And for me, that represented the strong mermaid.
Mm. I also really love the way that you kind of put every single symbol and symbolism together, because we have, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but we're dealing with the concept of womanhood, but actually the outcast and the ostracizations of womanhood in society, as well as the idea of cannibalism in a way, although you kind of touch it in a different way.
Of course.
Which is this sort of idea like we shun them away, but at the same time we need them.
You know? It's we kept saying it's a cycle. And
exactly.
The circle that they're stuck in, the circle that none of them want to break. Although, you know, from an outsider, if you look at the situation, you're like, I think this is crazy. Why are they doing this? But from the insider, as if it's your culture, you're not going to look at it as crazy. You're going to look at it as your only way of survival. Mm. And it was that circle that kept on going. And what's so interesting that you picked up on that in a way, even the sea creatures, the women are kind of participating in this. And you get to choose which one is the antagonist, really. Mm. Who's the savior and who's the hero? And at the end of the day, you only see it from the perspective of the girl, who has both the senses of the sea and the senses of the land. And then she comes to, you know, find her own peace between the water and the land.
You also decided aesthetically, it was a bold move, but I really loved it. The idea of doing everything black and white. Mm. Maybe it's like creating something almost like universal, like detached from any temporal relationship with the...
We originally didn't shoot in black and white, but when we switched the film to black and white after we finished the final cut, it made us focus on the narrative more. It was literally, I felt when I first watched it in black and white, I was like, wow, it's actually telling the audience this story is about narrative. It's about following it, and you don't really have to worry about anything else. You just have to worry about experiencing this story. And then another thing is that it really highlighted the dryness of the land. I wanted a land that is very dry. Of course, you got that. I wanted the water to represent the woman, the moving element to be representing the things that are moving, the thing that change, and the rocks. I wanted it to represent the stiffness of that culture and the men. And in a way, with the black and white, it was brought up to a whole different level.
Talking about the land as well, is so barren, and I just wonder how was the production days. You know, it was
so easy.
Really?
No, to be honest, like every time, like the main location, one of where we shot the most was the seashore where where the fishermen work, where the hunters work, and that was an unreachable kind of location. We have to go down the mountain and sometimes unload equipment from up the mountain. It was like a very new territory for filmmaking, because we filmed in a village, Oman, you know. No one ever shot a film there, so we literally had to utilize all the Omanis who were in the village. I keep saying some of the hunters were actually the wranglers or the boat and the wow. people who are driving us around. So we really built a very nice community there. And although it was very challenging, to be honest, but that's the most fun thing. That's the most fun part. I mean, I think one of my reasons that I don't normally talk about, well, it was one of my reasons I shot this film, is because it's so much fun. I know it's so hard, but who wants to shoot in a normal environment? No, I'd rather shoot in mountains, climb up and down, jump in and out of waters. That's much better. Torture cast, much better.
And also, I mean, that's kind of like to wrap it up, but and maybe it's too fresh because you're still within this film, but having this scales as the first feature, of course, it kind of like prepares you for everything. Probably is going to be very, very easy, you know, afterwards. You have already some sort of new features in mind? You're already thinking about it, or is it too early now?
So, actually, it also answers my kind of last question. I am working on another feature. I do really want to shoot in Jeddah. I'm from Jeddah, okay. Saudi Arabia. So I really want to, you know, be very honest about the society I grew up in. I want to tell its story, you know. I don't want to be afraid of that. And I want to tell the story from my perspective, from the perspective of how I grew up. So, yeah, I do have a family story, but also about a young girl that is set in Jeddah. And it's in the works. It's still very early on in development. But every time I step away from it, it's just because I say, do I really want to shoot in a normal location such as a city? You know? Let's pick something harder. But it's something I have to do, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Amazing. Well, for now, we focus on this film, which is Amazing Scales for the English audience.
Yes.
Here at the International Critics Week in Venice. Best of luck. It was really amazing. So I'm definitely telling all the audience to go and watch it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us here, Shan.
Thank you for having me.
Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.